With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, our good buddy Pete Doherty, the Green Bay Press Gazette, is here. Pete, how you doing, pal?
Good, Bill. How are you today?
I am good. So let me first and foremost ask you what it was like presenting Leroy Butler, and take us inside the room. Take us inside the presentation.
It was pretty cool. I admitted this before, and I'll say it now. I mean, I was nervous about this. I mean, this is really big. This is, you know, Leroy's counting on me to do a good job, and the presentation's important. So I had kind of, there was some tossing and turning on Friday night at the hotel in Miami, but once I started giving the presentation, it went well. I think it went over well, and more importantly, you know, the presentations are important, so, you know, don't get me wrong there, but just as important, if not more important, is the discussion afterwards, because, you know, other voters do their research, they talk to their sources, and they share what they learn and what they think in the discussion. And immediately when I got done, you know, bing, 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 five or six voters chimed in, shared their thoughts, shared what they learned. All of them were very much pro Leroy making the Hall of Fame. This was his first go-round, you know, first time in the room. And so there was a core of support there that's really important. I basically, looking back, he had no chance with all those safeties, four safeties, Polamalu.
Yeah.
Their cases are similar, really, but Polamalu had the Defensive Player of the Year award, so he jumps the line. You know, that's a big deal, so okay. But at minimum, Leroy's case is, bare minimum, as good as Atwater's and Lynch's. They got in the queue earlier than he did for reasons we can get into later if you want, but for whatever reason, they're ahead of him in line. He had no chance to make it in this year, but I am, especially after seeing the reaction in the room, and then I've, you know, been in contact with a few voters since then, you know, talked to them after the meeting and in the last day or two. I think the really good groundwork was laid. I'm really bullish on Leroy's chances of getting in sometime in the next, I don't know, I'm hopeful the next two or three years.
I was going to say, usually when you make it to a finalist list, the inevitability becomes that much greater, right?
92%, somebody said in the room, they did the stats. If you make the final 15, you've got a 92% chance of getting in.
Talking with Pete Doherty, the Green Bay Press Gazette. So what were some of the questions that were posed to you from those that would vote?
No questions.
Really?
It was everybody who talked said, look, this guy, I don't know why it took so long for him to get in this room, but this guy did a lot. I talked to so-and-so from the team I cover who was around in the 90s. They said this about him. I think Leroy Butler is a Hall of Famer. Like four or five people said that. Now, that doesn't mean he was going to get in this year, but it did mean that there's a core of support. There were no questions. Now, next year, you know, we'll get more into the case. Maybe a question or two will pop up. But, some of the voters don't do all that much research, I don't think. So this was learning for some of them. And for others, you know, it was a chance to get more familiar with this case. And I think they'll maybe do some more research. I think they're more piqued by his case now, and they'll do more research. But, Atwater getting in helps him so much, because there's no way Atwater's case is any better than Leroy's. Many of us will argue, and I think a lot of people, even on the committee, think that Leroy's case is probably better. So that's a huge help. And if Lynch, let's say Lynch gets in ahead of him next year, I mean, Lynch has been on a finalist seven times, so that's a real possibility. I mean, that just cements things because, you know, at the barest of minimums, Leroy's case is at least their equals.
So I do want to get away from this for just a couple of minutes because I do want to talk about the end of the Packers season with you. So the Packers beat Kansas City. They fall to San Francisco. The question posed to me as that game is progressing, as the Super Bowl 54 is progressing, is, look, why, if the Packers could knock off the Kansas City Chiefs, now granted it was without Patrick Mahomes, but if they can beat them and go toe-to-toe with them, then what was so different against San Francisco that they beat the Chiefs beat the 49ers, but the 49ers beat the hell out of the Packers? My answer simply was the trenches. I had a chance to sit down and chat with Za'Darius Smith, and he said, look, they just weren't ready to play. He talked about some guys that maybe not necessarily paying as much attention to communication as they should have, which we've heard that before, but... he also said, yeah, you know, yeah, we got a couple guys we got to, you know, we got to get. He didn't say that are bad. He just said we got a couple things we got to get, meaning I think they needed upgraded positions. To me, they lost that game in the trenches. Give me your thought.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think there was something about their run defense. There's the Pat and Ryan scheme skews toward being unsound in run defense. They like to get upfield. They like to be disruptive. I talked about this a couple times with an offensive line coach I know in the league, and he said, you know, the teams that he's been with, they always felt like they could run the ball against that defense because they're just not as gap conscious as other defenses are. They just don't go over it as much and teach it as much because they want to get upfield disrupt. And I think that's probably going to have to change. And I think they need to be more dynamic at middle linebacker. I think they could use a big run-stuffing defensive lineman. You know, beating Kansas City without Mahomes is really not beating Kansas City because they're obviously just an entirely different team with that guy. And you're right, the San Francisco, it's just a matter of the 49ers they just ran the ball right down their throat.
Mm-hmm.
And the Packers couldn't do anything about it. And on the other side, Packers have a really good offensive line. In fact, they played okay. They played fine against the 49ers, but the 49ers they've got talent all across that front four, and sometime or other, they're going to get you because of their ability to rush the passer.
What do you think? I mean, obviously there's free agents that the Packers have coming up, and they got to re-sign some of their own, or at least guys that they believe they're going to keep. And then obviously there's an addition. So I've said all along that they need a veteran wide receiver, plus they're going to draft. I said that you either have to figure out the right tackle position for the incumbent or for somebody behind Brian Bulaga, or you got to bring him back, maybe a two-year deal that, you know, you front load it, and that way if you need to cut him loose next year, you can do that. And then obviously they got to get somebody alongside Kenny Clark, and they've got to get somebody really with speed roaming the middle or two. So you tell me where the priorities lie.
Yeah, that's basically sums it all up. Now they don't have the money they had last year, so I'm not sure they'll be able to go after any top tier guys. So let's just say at receiver, for instance, maybe they try to find a slot guy who might be cheaper, a smaller, quicker slot guy. Middle linebacker is going to be the tough one. There's just nobody out there who's really talented. So maybe they have to just sign a cheap guy, a veteran who is kind of a fallback guy. Hope he's a little better than Martinez, maybe a little more explosive anyway. And then try to draft really high and have a really talented guy to work in there too. Signing a really good receiver is going to be expensive. So I don't know if I think prices are always inflated, and it seems like they're especially inflated at receiver. Look at Sammy Watkins, for instance, that deal he got a couple of years ago. And right tackle, Bulaga is such a tough one because he had such a nice season for him, and he stayed healthy and he's really committed himself, but he's got that long injury history, and I think he's going to be 31 next season. And, you know, we saw it with TJ Lang. I mean, when the end comes especially with guys who have an injury history like that, it can come fast. I mean, maybe 3 years from now, Bulaga's still playing really good football. Or maybe he gets hurt next season and only plays in 10 games, So it's a tough call. So you're right. They've got to be careful the contract they offer. And if he gets a better offer somewhere else, which he very well might, then they'd have to do what they should do at middle linebacker too. And you sign a veteran guy, stopgap. You try to draft one in the first four rounds. and whoever is the better player is your starter to start the season.
Real quick before I let you go, the NFC North obviously still very tough. I think that the Bears, they have a little bit to add. They got to give Mitch Trubisky some additional weapons. Who knows what they're going to bring in, if any, for a backup or to put pressure on him. The Vikings are still very good. The X factor is Matthew Stafford over in Detroit. How tight is this division, in your opinion?
It's pretty tight. You know, the Vikings, I'd be a little worried if I were the Vikings that defense is, you know, it's starting to age out now. It happened so fast, you know, in this league. And they're starting to age out a little bit. So they need to draft really well, I think, to have things not slip on defense. And I just, Cousins just, it's not there. I just don't see it. He's a 8-8, 9-7 guy. He'll win. He won't lose you games. But when you got to have him, I just don't know that he's good enough. So I don't know that they're going to get any better unless they really have a great offseason. And Detroit getting Stafford back will make a huge difference. But I don't know enough about that staff still. I think Packers are in a great position. I think if Gutekunst is really aggressive and smart, and they have another good offseason, they should be in pretty good shape.
Pete, always a pleasure, man. I appreciate it. And we'll talk again down the road. Enjoy a little bit of the offseason for a while, okay?
Okay, you too, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. There you go. Pete Doherty, the Green Bay Press Gazette, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they will treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.